Trust, we're indeed thankful to have the pleasure of standing before you, and we appreciate your time that you take out. I know you're giving it to the Lord, but as we stand before you, we always appreciate your attention, and we appreciate your spirit, and we appreciate your prayers and being in the mind in the spirit of prayer. And don't forget and don't underestimate your involvement in the pew while we stand before you. It is important and beneficial and to your benefit to, of course, pay attention to what's said, not because I'm saying it, but because if the Lord is involved in our preaching, then it's God speaking to us and to you, and hopefully giving us light, instruction, and counsel, and then it's important to be praying that God would manifest that presence amongst us. The word of the day, we had the word of the day. The word of today is the same word as it was last Sunday, because that's still on our mind, and it is consider and consideration, and we went to a scripture over there in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and I finally got down there to the end, and I'm going to grab that as a starting point, because it was pretty much the ending point of our time before you, and then we're going to try to move on to some other things to consider. This is in 1 Samuel in the 12th chapter, and we kind of went through a lot of things that was happening to the nation of Israel, and them picking a king, and the things that happened there. And essentially, they already had a king. It was God was their king, and he reigned over them, and he was a great king and still is. But they decided they wanted a king of men, and it actually was something that was very displeasing to God. It was displeasing to Samuel. Remember, they essentially said he was old. Old man, worn out, and we and your sons aren't falling in your way, and we want us a king. We want something new and improved. And God allowed them to have a king, and God tried to help Samuel through this situation because he'd been faithful from his youth, been in the house of the Lord from a youth. His mother had given him unto him as after God had blessed her to have a child, which was Samuel. Gave him over to service of God, been there as a youth, been a good servant, been a good prophet. And God said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. And he says, well, give them a king, and they're going to have to pay for that. And there's some disadvantages for them to have a king. I gave you that list to look at. But we come down, and in the 12th chapter, Samuel's telling the people, God was displeased when you did that. And they begin to feel that, understand that this is something that they had done that was wrong. And God said, but you need to just fear God and serve Him. And he goes on down to the last part of this chapter. This is kind of where we wound up. I'm going to kind of finish up and start down here. Let's go down to the 20th verse, the 12th chapter, 1 Samuel. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, not trying to hide it, not trying to skirt over it, not trying to say it didn't really happen. But he says, you've done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Sometimes when we get off the path and we know we've done something wrong, sometimes we feel so bad about it, maybe so guilty about it, we feel bad about getting back on the path. And maybe we've been away from church for a while. Maybe we haven't gone and as much as we should have, and we start to feel bad about it. And maybe Satan's there just saying, well, just miss another one. Miss another one. Don't go back, you know, because you go back, somebody will say, where have you been? You know, and we need to be careful, those of us who are here on a regular basis, that we don't do that. You know, Brother Avery used to do that, but he was not being in a bad way. But if I hadn't been here to visit in a while, you know. I didn't mean I wasn't going to church, but I hadn't been here to visit in a while. He'd say, where you been? You know, it's been a long time since you've been here. You know, kind of like give you a little bit of a guilt treatment, you know. And he didn't mean nothing by it. He just meant I missed you, you know, and I missed getting to see you. And it really meant, you know, he really wanted you to be there, you know. But we got to be careful. We can say it in a different way. You know, we got to be careful not to offend each other. And then we got to be careful not to be offended by each other. You know, it works on both ends. But sometimes we might miss church for a while and we might feel guilty about it and might not want to get back in. Don't do that. He says, you've done these things you shouldn't be doing. He says, but turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside from them, for then should you go after vain things. If you turn aside, you're not following the Lord, you're not following with all your heart, you're going to turn after something else. It's not like you're going to be, and we've talked this about before, it's the point, it's in the Bible, throughout the Bible. It's not just about turning from doing something wrong and doing something evil, but and we come into some neutral state. You got to turn from doing what's wrong, and now you got a void that was being filled up by your mind, your time, your energy, your resources. And if you don't fill that void with doing what's right and doing what the Lord calls you to do, you know what's going to happen? That something else, unrighteous and ungodly, and something not in the Lord's will, is going to fill that void. That's a lesson that we see over and over in the Bible. Put off these things over Colossians and maybe Ephesians. He has a list of things that we need to put off these things. Right after he says put off, he says, and then put on these things. It's not just about removing something and putting off something and saying, okay, I took care of that. If you don't hurry up and put something on that's right, then you're going to put on something else that's not right. You see, that's the idea, the concept we find throughout God's Word. He says, for the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. It was according to His good pleasure to make you one of His. I can't explain why He did it. I can't explain why He loved this sinner, why He'd want to have mercy on this sinner, why you want to have grace and compassion on this sinner. But I've felt it, and I've experienced it, and I'm thankful for it. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I sure have thought about it. Samuel, you've called me an old man. You said that I'm no good for nothing, pretty much, and you want something new. He says, and I thought about not praying for you, but I better not do that. I better just keep on, because it's right for me to pray for you. You know, he says, but I will teach you the good and the right way. And I hope if you didn't get nothing else out last sermon, that the thing that we try to bring towards the end there was, no matter how old we are, there's still a great benefit we have. And don't stop. There's never a place to retire in doing what's right. There's never a place to retire and serving God. You may retire from your company and your place of business, and that's fine, that's good. But don't retire from the things of the Lord. Never a place to do that. And we need our older people to not retire from those things. But Samuel still, what could he do for them? He could still teach the good and the right way. As the world's out here busy teaching the wrong way, while the world's out here making everything gray, and there's no black, and there's no white, and whatever you feel like doing, whatever you want to do, just go for it. That's making it gray. God's Word teaches over and over, there's a good way, and there's a right way. He didn't say there's a good way and a right way, and there's a couple in between, pick whichever one you want to do. That's what the world would do. But what can you do? It may be hard for you to get out of the bed in the morning. You may have afflictions. You may have difficulties moving around like you used to. You know, but can you still teach? Can you still give good counsel? Can you still give light and understanding? God's blessed with light all your life, or maybe the time you've been under the sound of the gospel, among God's people, reading His Word, being able to pray to Him, to give you light. There's many out here in darkness. We're not talking about getting people to heaven. We're not talking about getting people to the cross. That's already happened. That happened 2,000 years ago. We're not talking about accomplishing those things. We're talking about God's people that belong to Him. Before the foundation of the world, we're sealed by the blood of Jesus on the cross. But they're here in this world, and it is a dark place. And many of God's little children are going about in a place of darkness and stumbling and falling over different things that cause darkness out here in the world. And oh, for God's little remnant of people to shine a little light. Just a little light in a dark place makes the difference between falling over something or falling into something or getting scraped up or getting bruised or getting hurt. Oh, that God's little remnant of people will shine their lights. Just a few here, we're thankful for you. We love you and appreciate you that you're here. And we represent just a small few, though, in this community. But a little light makes a difference. A little salt makes a big difference. And he says, only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart. Truth is important. God doesn't say, just serve me any way you want to serve me. Believe anything you want to believe. Truth is important. And it is precious. And I hope it's precious to us. Serve Him in truth with all your heart. Not half-hearted. Not halfway. Not when it's convenient. But serve Him with all your heart. For consider, there's the word of the day finally, for consider how great things He hath done for you. You stop and you count your blessings. You stop and you consider how great things the Lord hath done for you. I believe it will provide some motivation for us to shine our lights. It should. Consider what great things the Lord, has He done some great things for you? Surely He has. And you stop and consider. I'd like to spend the next 5 hours telling you about every one of them. And I still wouldn't get them all, would I? But you can do that. You know better than anybody else what great things the Lord has done for you. Do we have a tendency to forget about it? Do we have a tendency to not think about it, not consider it? Surely we do. And it's to our despair and discomfort that we do. He says, for consider how great things He hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly. Well, I wish they wouldn't end this chapter on this, but that's the way it is. It's the word of the Lord. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. We do have a choice here in this world. It's not about whether or not to be a child of God or not. It's not whether or not you're going to heaven or not. Thank God that's not my choice. Thank God that's not your choice. Because the Bible teaches, and I know myself, and you know yourself too, and you know your flesh. Without God in this body, without His Spirit there, I know exactly what that flesh would do. It would do just like described throughout the Scriptures. And we read, I don't remember, I think it was last Sunday, we went over there about that fool over in the 14th chapter of Psalm. God did look out, and there were none that seeketh Him, no, not one. There were none that understand, they all gone astray. That's us. That's us making a choice by ourselves. Without God intervening in your heart, in your life, I'll tell you exactly where you'd go. You would go in the same path that you've been going in this body without the presence of God. Unrighteousness. But the choice we have here in this world is if you are a child of God and God made that choice, that's another word for election, choice. He elected a people before the foundation of the world, chosen them in Christ to be before Him in love, blameless. But if God has quickened you, and He will quicken every single one of His children, every one of them, not because the preacher got there, not because the gospel got there, but because God got there and He's going to get there. Every one of them is going to cry of a father. Not every one of them is going to have the gospel. Not every one of them is going to know about the things that we know and understand about Christ. Not every one of them is going to see a Bible, be in a church. But every one of them is going to know that they have a Father in heaven because He lives within them. But we can have a choice of whether or not to be obedient or disobedient. We do have that choice. And that's essentially what He's saying here. All right, let's consider a couple things before my time expires, as quickly as it usually does. Let's go to Psalms. Let's look at a few things in Psalms to consider. There's quite a few, but let's go to the 8th chapter of Psalms. I believe this is going to help you and help me. You know, as we walk along this journey, there's going to be some ups and some downs. Do we accept that as a fact? And by the way, I'm thankful for many of you that you've made your commitment to the Lord. You felt burdened. God put that on you and you answered that. And you came forward and you were baptized and you united with God's church. I'm thankful that you did that. That wasn't easy for you to do. That was a choice you had. And I'm thankful that you've done that. But just because we've done that, those of us who have done that, doesn't mean that life then is without any problems or difficulties. It doesn't mean that you'll not have any sorrow or affliction or infirmities or difficulties in your life. In fact, you may have quite a few problems and difficulties that you'd not had if you'd picked that other path. That's not to say that that is discouraging you, because it's the right path. But God has not promised us, we sing that song sometime, He has not promised us sunshine without rain. He hasn't promised those things. And we should not have the expectation that when we are obedient and do the best we can and follow the Lord's will, that we would not have difficulties. Over in the New Testament Scripture, it says, you can find a scripture over there, it said, those that live a godly life shall suffer persecution. Was it not the case for the apostles? Many of those wound up being executed, beheaded, killed, or murdered by different people that hated them and hated what they preached and what they believed. Was it not the case for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He went to the cross? Should we expect that when we are doing God's will that we'll never have any difficulty or problem? You know what would happen to you if you never had any more problems or difficulties? You know what happened to you if you never had any affliction, never any kind of issues that caused any resistance in your life? You know what would happen? You would get where you wouldn't be sitting in this place anymore. You'd begin to forget God. You'd forget your blessings. You'd forget the wonderful things that God bestowed upon you. You say, well, that's kind of mean of you to say, talk about me like that. You know, maybe I wouldn't do that. Well, I'm just speaking from this, looking at you through this glass and looking back at the mirror. You know, this is referred to as the mirror that men look into. And then he goes away and he forgot what it was he saw in that reflection. How many times do we look and we see it and God shows it to us, and then we go off and we say, and we act like we never saw what we just saw, what God showed us. That's over in James. You'll find that about a man that looks into that and forgets what he saw. Don't be deceived. We need, sometimes God allows us to have things come in our life, and I'm not going to give credit to God for every difficulty and problem you have in your life, because there's those three enemies, ones within you and Satan in the world, that do things to God's people that hurt them and bring them down. And we're not giving credit to God for everything bad that happens in your life, but He does allow sometimes, and I'm not here trying to figure out which one He did and didn't. It's not for you necessarily to do that either. But He allows sometimes things to come into our life that are not comfortable for us, that we might then grow closer to Him, that we might see His mercy and see His grace and see His strength and trust in Him and depend upon Him. And if you've experienced that in your life and you see that, even that, you see, you can glory in. The apostles, they would say, we rejoice in affliction, especially in that which would be the result of them preaching the gospel or living a life that would be according to God's will. That they many times they suffer persecution for the name of Christ. And yet they rejoiced in that. You say, well, something wrong with them. Something wrong with those folks. They would rejoice in suffering persecution, but they counted be worthy to suffer the persecution for the name of Christ. Sometimes God, you know, God knows what's better for you than you know yourself. Do you believe that? I do, because I know He knows everything. And He created me, and He knows me better than I know myself. And He is good, and He's a faithful Father. Did I say we're going to Psalms? We are going to... I'm in the 8th chapter of the book of Psalms. He says in the 8th chapter, O Lord, our Lord... I'm glad David gets us involved in this too. It's not just his Lord, it's our Lord. This psalm's not just for David, it's for you and I. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth! Exclamation point. Is not His name greater and more beautiful and more important than any other name? How sweet the name of Jesus we sing sometimes. How excellent is Thy name in all the earth! And what we just read was that He would be kind. He would not forget Israel over anything because of His name's sake. Wow. Adds a little more extra to that excellent name it is. Because He has an excellent name, He doesn't forget us. He says, is Thy name in all the earth? Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. God has a great power, and His power is all, He has all power in heaven and earth, and He's able to steal the enemy. He's able to take care of our avenger. Third verse, we're going to finally get to some consider here, but it says, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained. I talk a lot, or at least mention a lot, oftentimes, and I remind you a lot of the power of our God, that He created the heavens and the earth. It's throughout His Word. We're reminded of those things. Do you like the way David describes it here? He says, the work of His fingers. Not even His hands. You know, just the work of His fingers to get the moon and the stars. And if you read over in the Genesis, let me grab that. Stay there in the 8th chapter. Let me just grab that last part there when He created those things. He said over here in the 1st chapter of Genesis, He said in the 14th verse of 1st chapter of Genesis, and God said, let there be lights and firmament in the heaven, divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. That's the sun and the moon. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Spent quite a bit of time talking about the sun and the moon. The moon gives us important things. Here comes the rain. And here comes the cooling down. We don't have to have air conditioners much now because of that. But he says in the 16th verse, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. And the last part of that little verse tagging on there, he says, He made the stars also. Kind of just throwing that in there. Oh, and by the way, He also, with His fingers, He kind of just twinkled those up there into the sky. They don't even know how many stars are out there. They try to name some of them. There's many they don't know. He just likes, just with His fingers. Oh, when I consider the work of our God, the power of our God, it sure does help me not to think about all my problems. It sure does help me not to think about all the difficulties I have here in this world. To think about the power of our God. Not just some God, but our God. He is our God. We are His people. And listen to His power. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of? And one of the things, when I think about how big, great God is, one of the conclusions I kind of have to think about is I see how big, and I keep looking at God, and I have to keep going up, and going up, going up. You know, I start sizing Him up. It's impossible to really size Him up, isn't it? What can we make it like unto Him? What image can we make liken unto Him? There's nothing. But when I start looking at Him, how big He is, how great He is, how powerful He is, one of the things I start to realize is how puny I am. How little I am. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of? I begin to say, I can't even believe that you would even think about me. How? He says, and the Son of Man that thou visitest Him, for thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned Him with glory and honor. Makes me think about Hebrews, speaking of Jesus Christ, of course, over there. He says, thou madest Him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under His feet. And in creation, remember over there in the beginning, it said He created man in the image of God. And in that image, in particular, He's talking about that He set man over all the other of His creation. He put us over the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air and the fish of the ocean. And we're able to go out and fish. We're able to go out and kill animals and eat animals if we need that for food. He put us in dominion over this, His beautiful, wonderful creation, and yet He set man over that. Now man has abused that in some ways, has he not? But God put us in this favored position. He didn't put something else here on this earth that would reign over us. Of course, we're held under submission to the weather, which of course is the hand of God. We'll get back to the water, you know, and the weather and those things. He can control those things and has throughout time. Thank goodness. But still, man had been put in that place. I mean, he said, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the earth. O Lord, our Lord. Starts off with that, and he's going to end with that. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Something for you to consider. Something for all of us to consider. Are you having problems, difficulties right now? Well, take a time out to consider how great your God is. Not only will it make you feel smaller, hopefully it'll make your problems feel smaller. And know that He has power over those things. All right, turn with us. Let's go to 77th Psalm. Psalm 77. Here he says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me in the day of my trouble. Speaking of trouble, speaking of difficulties. If you're not having a day of trouble right now, some of you may, you probably going to have one tomorrow, or maybe next week, maybe a month from now. Maybe you make it through the year without a lot of trouble, but next year, What did Job say? Man's born of a woman, a few days and full of trouble. I'm not trying to get you down. I'm not trying to depress you. All right, I'm just trying to tell you the facts. But at the same time, what are you going to do about it? You going to dread it coming? You going to get down and depressed before it even gets here? Just knowing it's going to come? Your day of trouble is going to, just because you had a few last year, a couple, you know, 5 years ago, don't mean you're not going to have any more. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have troubles. But the question is, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to react to it? There's a lot of ways to do it. But here's an example. He says, I'm in the day of trouble. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. There it is. That's part of part of the answer. What you going to do? How are you going to react? Well, you better get God involved. He should be involved in our life even when we don't have trouble. Because we'll be able to call on Him, be able to understand how to walk. You walk in faith now, and it'll be easier to walk in faith when times get difficult. You try God out now, you prove Him out, and when hard times come, you already know He's a proven way to go, you see. Keep thinking about David here. David comes to Goliath, and he's volunteering for this. He's volunteering to go up against the big giant and fight the big giant. And all the other men, the warriors of Israel, are shaking. Their knees are shaking at the sight of this man. Their heart is dropping. Little puny David, little shepherd boy, says, "That man needs to be taken down. That man is against Israel. He's defiling God and God's people. He needs to be struck down. I'll go and do it." David, when of course Saul comes to him and says, "David," he says, "you're just a man of your youth. This man's been a warrior, someone who's been in battle from his youth. And you're going to go up against him?" And David said, "Let me tell you, when I was out in the field, here comes a lion to take one of the sheep. I got the lion, grabbed him by his beard, and I smoked the lion. Here comes the bear. Bear comes up against the sheep. I took the bear, and I smoked the bear. God delivered me out of the hand of the lion, out of the hand of the bear. And He'll do the same thing when I go against this enemy." He's walking the Lord. You go back, you look at the times God's been with you, and He's delivered you in times past. And then whatever you're facing in front of you, you think He'll not deliver you then? If you're going in His way, you're going according to His will, He'll deliver you then. You see, by experience, "I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night. It ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." This fellow's in bad shape. He's in trouble. He thinks about it all day, all night. He cannot sleep good. "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Overwhelmed did this trouble come. Like roaring river. We're back to water. It's another analogy in water in the Word. Is sometimes our trouble can be a roaring river. "Thou holdest mine eyes waking, and I am troubled that I cannot speak." It's in pretty bad shape. Can't sleep, can't even speak. "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." Now, that, when you go back to God's creation, that's getting on back there to ancient times. I think that would be definitely in that consideration of being ancient times. But anything Old Testament over here, for us, would be ancient times. "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." What does this fellow do? He's seeking the Lord. But part of the answer for him to deal with his trouble is considering the things that God has done in ancient times. "I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more?" We can get in the place where maybe we feel in such a place of trouble where we feel like, the Lord forgot me. The Lord doesn't know about me. The Lord has left me. The Lord is going to forsake me. But He goes back and He remembers all the times that God has not forsaken His people. All the times that God has delivered His people. Maybe not exactly when they thought they wanted to be delivered, but He delivered them. He did not forsake them. I go back and I remember all those things. "Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore?" We can get the point that we feel like He has forgotten us. He doesn't remember us. "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy?" Selah. Those are kind of questions that we might have and come to our mind as we go through times of trouble and difficulty. We may feel like the Lord is clean, forgot about us. He says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Here's part of the answer to this problem. When you feel that way, and when you go through that, you stop and you consider the many things that God's already done. And you get your Bible out, and you read the many times that God delivered His people over and over. And they weren't worthy of being delivered, just like we're not many times. They've forsaken Him, they've gone astray, they served other gods, and yet He still would come back and deliver them and take care of them. He did not forget them. His mercies were not run out. He had not forgotten to be gracious. He says, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Also in encouraging us to seek Him in the sanctuary. That's what we're trying to do right now, is to talk to you about God, you see, to remind you about God. And when we forsake the assembly of ourselves together, we're not getting that kind of talk. Your flesh may be talking to you, Satan may be talking to you, this world may be talking to you, but we need to hear God talking to us. We need to hear the things of God and the benefit of the sanctuary that God's blessed us to have. He says, Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Has not God shown over and over again how powerful He is, how strong He is, how able He is? My hand's not too short that it cannot save. God is a God of salvation. He says, Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. If you can't go back and remember anything else, you go back to the cross. You go back and you look there and you see what the Lord has done for you. If He didn't do anything else for us all the days of our lives except what He did on the cross, look what great thing He done for us on the cross. He saved us from an everlasting place of the lake of fire. He saved us from the wrath of God. He has delivered us into an eternity to be with Him and home with Him in eternity forevermore. He saved us from an unrighteous, polluted body to have one day that'll be without sin, that'll be perfect, also in the image of the body of Jesus Christ. If He didn't do anything for us that was good in our entire life, look at what He did upon the cross of Calvary. And no man can take that away from us. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man can erase your name from the Lamb's book of life. No man can take you out of that engravement He put in His hand of you. Every one of His children. No man can change that, and you can't change yourself, thank goodness. But He says, Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, in the path of thy great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Can you guess I had a few more things for you to consider this morning? There's a whole lot more for us to consider. I didn't get over Hebrews, where it said to consider Jesus Christ, profession of our faith. If you don't consider anything else, consider Christ. Consider the love that He had for you. Can you comprehend? Can we begin to comprehend the love that God has had for us and has for us and will always have for us, that He would send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, down here in this world to die for us? Can we begin, and Paul says over, I believe, about the book of Philippians, that I might apprehend that which I've been apprehended of. What is the depth and the breadth and the width and the height, four dimensions there He speaks of the love of God. Can you begin to understand the love that God has loved us with? That He would die for us? Sinners, polluted, corrupt, unrighteous. What manner of love is this? Behold how wonderful that love is. There's a lot more things for you to consider. I don't know if it'll be the word of the day next Sunday or not, but don't let it stop from being your word that you think about and have consideration. I appreciate your attention this morning as we stand before you.